Please turn with me to the last six verses of Ephesians. We can give a sigh of relief. So we have made it through this wonderful book. So we're going to start in, as you can see, verse 19 this morning, really ending another section, verse 19 does, and then going through verse 24. I had a month to sit on this passage. And I thought to myself, I really want to finish this book with my family, with my people. And the more I studied, I thought it really breaks down well in just three simple points. And I think it'd just be really practical for us to just jump in and take all five of these verses and all six of these verses and apply them to our hearts. But before we review a little bit and go into these last few verses, just want to say thanks to the men that filled the pulpit. It's amazing how gifted we are with a church our size, with the men that are able to fill the pulpit week in and week out. We need to thank the Lord for the gifts He's given us. So Bill Bosley, what an appropriate message for those of you that were here just the Sunday before the election, reminding us God is on His throne. It doesn't matter who's elected. Go do your duty, of course, but your main duty is to pray and then to submit yourselves underneath of whoever God puts over you. And don't forget that God is on the throne. What a great message. And then the next week, it was Nathaniel, you know, one of our young preacher boys. And I think he thought he was preaching this morning because he looks really good wearing a jacket and all that. So I think he thought he was preaching again. But thank the Lord for him. Just if you are here, clearly, he is gifted by God to preach His word. It's just really neat to have that inside of our local church. So continue to pray for him. Because how many young men have we seen just kind of go by the wayside? The Savior just pinpoints them and wants to see those leaders, you know, knocked down. So pray for his soul. And then Jeff, last week, I thought to myself, God, as I'm going up and down the hills of West Virginia, and just up and down, in and out, no internet, and I'm just losing him back and forth. Okay, God works every time a Christian opens up the Word of God, and specifically on a Sunday when he preaches. But there are times when God's Spirit just seems to show up. We know he shows up in a special way. And I just thought to myself, just time and time again, all through the message, and I'm listening with my earphones, and my wife keeps hearing me say, amen, and that was so good, and she doesn't know what's going on over there. It was such a good and appropriate message. 1 Timothy 3:1-7, and the opening illustrations of what churches are looking for in a pastor, and we're all laughing and chuckling, but that's true, and it's sad. And then he just laid out, this is what we're praying for and we're looking for. You just need to praise the Lord for that. I think it was a little bit of revival here in our little local church where God said, here's a little extra portion of my Spirit to kind of help this local church along. So just continue to praise the God for all of your gifts, because it's not like his gift is more important and Nathaniel's gift is more important. As we've learned from Ephesians 4, every single one of our gifts must be plugged in every Sunday. And if we do that, then we will grow as we ought to. If one of you doesn't plug in their gift, then I won't grow as I ought to. I think we've learned that from the book of Ephesians just so clearly. But that is enough. Let's bow our heads, ask God once again to prepare our hearts to hear his word. And let's use this as a time of confession as well. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of your son. Thank you for your spirit, which gives us enlightenment when we don't understand. Just gives us the word of God and helps us to understand it. Would you please forgive us of our sins, whether it's something against you or against someone else, which is really against you as well. Would you forgive us and fill us with your spirit? And may we understand, and as Pastor Jeff always prays, may we change. May we do something about it. And would you help us to live out what we learn? And just have a special hand on those that are sick, those that are under the weather, especially Miss Joanne. Keep her healthy throughout the winter. And of course, little Tina as well. Keep her healthy as you did, thankfully, last winter. So bless us now. We are very dependent upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we like to do, time and again through Ephesians, we don't want to lose sight of the big picture, the forest, because we're so engrossed in the minutiae of verse by verse, word by word, paragraph by paragraph. So what is the big picture of Ephesians? But I just kept studying, kept looking, and I think we can sum up the six chapters this way. So we have each chapter with a little bullet point that I'll think help us remember where we were at and what we learned. So first of all, the bigger picture, this book reminds us, teaches us the wonder of being in Christ. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like being a Christian, and then sometimes we don't know till later in our Christian life, we're in union with the God of the universe. And He grants us favor and grace because of that. So specific application, chapter by chapter, there's more of that, of course, we know. You'll remember different things, but these are the bigger pictures from chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. First of all, we have received wondrous blessings in union with our Savior. If you're not thankful this morning, if there are times like I had this past week, and I'm sure you did, where your soul just questioned, why would I even be thankful? Just go read through chapter 1 again. Just go dwell upon all of the gifts that you have in Jesus Christ. And because you cannot lose that union, you will never lose those blessings ever. You may try to push yourself away by choosing sin over God, but He is, as Romans says, He will bring us back to repentance sometimes just by being so good to us and reminding us of these blessings. So His goodness is oftentimes a part of the discipline that Pastor Jeff explained to us in Sunday school this morning. Chapter 2. Isn't this amazing grace? Kind of summed up the song we were just singing. We have been brought from death to life in Christ. We were dead, and now we can see. We have new life because of His working in our heart. Number 3. And this needs to encourage us because we are all different. We are different, but God is still pursuing us, and He is extending His kingdom worldwide, even through groups that are so different, like the Jews and Gentiles that have been joined together in Christ. So we're different, and that's good, because He uses those differences to reach different people, and that is how He has planned it, because we can't say that we did it on our own. How else could a group of people, a hodgepodge of people like us in Western PA, see so much growth over several years? Because God is working through us to magnify His name. Number 4, we must strive for unity in Christ. But doesn't chapter 4 tell us that we're already unified in Him? And then chapter 1 also reminds us of that. Yes, which is why it's so interesting that He says, strive for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It is our job to strive to maintain peace with us. Is it the power and the controlling of the Holy Spirit that helps us? Of course. But we must act at sanctification, us and God, to maintain the unity that we have in this body. And praise the Lord for it. And number 5, chapter 5, we must live in the ways of Christ and not return to worldly ways. Have you slipped at all? We all do at times. Remind yourself, I am in Him. And the verse that Jeff quoted at the end of Sunday school was, be ye holy because He is holy. We are unified with a holy God. So don't partake in what we used to. Continue to strive for sanctification and to grow in our knowledge of Him. And we'll be reminded of that again at the end of the book here in just a moment. In chapter 6, we must find strength for spiritual warfare in Christ. What does the verse say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He will enable us to do this. So that is the big picture, people. What do we focus in on? We are unified with the Lord Jesus Christ through His blood. We repented of our sins. We placed our faith in Him. He saved us. We are one with Him, and now we live in this way. This is the local church. This is how we work together. So this review leads us to the last 6 verses of chapter 6, the end of the book. So I'm going to summarize Nathanael's message with one word, praying. So praying, and then the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says, praying also for me. How do we pray? Go back and listen to Nathanael's message. It was just spot on. It was wonderful. Praying also for me, that words may be given to me, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5 teaches us that we are all ambassadors for God spreading the gospel. And then he asks again, he's being redundant, so the Holy Spirit wants us to recognize this. He's repeating it. That I may declare it boldly. And then notice, as I ought to speak. This is not something that we can say, well, I opt out of witnessing. Witnessing is not something that is my gift. It's hard. I'm not going to do it. We cannot opt out of giving the gospel. Be reminded of the Great Commission with just this one word. We are constrained. We ought to be speaking the gospel. Well, how do we do that? We pray for boldness, a filling of the Spirit. Go back to chapter 5, that filling of the Spirit, which is informing chapter 6. And God, help us to speak the good news. And then he starts wrapping up a little bit, verses 21 through 24. And he says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother. So let's just pause a second. This, in the original, this would be called a definite article, which points to the fact that this was his title. So we all have nicknames, right? And our friends would look at each other and we'd say, you know, that's so-and-so. Well, when you saw Tychicus, you would say, that's the beloved brother. He's like Barnabas, the son of encouragement. That was his name, his title. Jesus is the what? He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. That's his title. Tychicus, his name in the original, it's pointing to Tychicus. We know him as the beloved brother. He was an important man in the local church. Continues. He's also a faithful minister in the Lord. And he will tell you everything, giving them an update like the Bosleys did in Sunday school 3 weeks ago. Verse 22. So I'm going to send him to you. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So he's a faithful friend and we ought to strive to emulate him in our interaction with each other. And then the normal closing that Paul would give through the Holy Spirit says, peace be to the brothers, all of you in the local church, brothers and sisters, young and old, peace be to you, and love with faith. It's really an interesting phrase right here. And love with faith is not found put together like this anywhere else in the New Testament. So we have to wrestle with exactly what it means in its closing, but I think it'll encourage us as the Bible always does. And notice the source. It is from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, pointing to the Trinity, all of them together there. We know that the Spirit is mentioned elsewhere in the book of Ephesians. And then that word, the word that we rely upon, that we were singing about this morning, that Jeff appropriately chose so many songs to point our attention to it. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So 3 points this morning. First of all, verses 19 and 20, a bold witness and praying that for ourselves and each other. Verses 21 and 22, a faithful friend. And then verses 23 and 24, a final greeting. I think it just breaks down very well for us this morning. I think we can leave here loving God more, loving each other better, simply because God honors His word and loves us so much. So first of all, we must, I think this verse is pushing us, we must pray for boldness to proclaim the gospel. But notice the context. Yes, I pray this for myself. We pray this for each other. But an apostle is asking this. And we know that this apostle was acting as an elder in the church of Ephesus. We know that from Acts chapter 20. So I think the context points us to the fact, pray particularly for pastors, and I would say people like the Bosleys, the Kemps, the people that we give money to and encourage and pray that they would have boldness to proclaim the gospel. So I think the initial application is pray for those in leadership, those we know are on the mission field, but I think that we are praying this for everyone at the same time. I think Matthew Henry, you know, of course, one of my favorites, the old Puritan, sums it up well with this quote at the bottom. This is praying that we may speak the whole counsel of God without any fear, without any shame, and without any partiality. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know what it feels like to fear when we really know we need to be giving the gospel. And then the fear takes over. What do you do? Pray for boldness. We know when we're filled with shame. What does Paul also ask? Pray that I would not be ashamed of the gospel. We're ashamed of it for some reason because people will look at us and they would look down on us. We're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that can save these people that God has sent our way. Does God save? Yes, but He uses us to further the kingdom. Why? I don't know. It brings Him glory. Just the simple answer. He uses us. And what season is it? Christmas. He brings the unsaved to you. They flock to you. They enter your home. They enter your life. And you see them. And why are we doing this? What's great about this cultural holiday? You get to see unsaved people and give them the gospel. Let's not worship consumerism, worship the gifts over the giver. Let us not forget that God is bringing us people that we may give them the gospel. So pray that we not have fear, shame, or partiality. I don't like those kinds of people. I don't even want to give them the gospel. That was Nicodemus' problem. And what did Jesus say to him? You, the great teacher of the Jews, God did not come just to save you, but God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's the context of John 3:16. And then what's chapter 4? Jesus goes and witnesses to the most hated people in all of Judah, all of Israel, the Samaritans. No partiality. We give the gospel to all without shame, with boldness. Say, well, that's easier said than done. Yes, it is. That's why we're told to pray. If the Apostle Paul, who is so well known for boldness that he looked a king in the face and said, you know, you're living in adultery, you realize that. And the king's like, I can chop your head off, you realize that. And Paul just gives him the gospel. And it says that he almost was saved. Isn't that interesting? He almost was saved when he heard the gospel. If he needs prayer for boldness, then of course we need prayer for boldness. So specifically, this Christmas season, write it down if you have to. Put a reminder in your smartphone. Put it somewhere. I need to be praying for my church, for my family, for other people, my missionaries, my pastors, that we would be bold to proclaim the gospel. Now, if we had more time to spend on these verses, and I, of course we could, but just notice three simple points that are clearly in this passage that I just want to quickly remind us of. Persecution is common for believers. So we got our new calendar, which Voices of the Martyrs gives, and they start in December, and so we put it up. We need to pray for these people. They are dying every day. Why? It's normal to be persecuted out of our friendly confines. It's abnormal to be like this. That's why I think maybe we will have to be held to a higher account when we get to heaven, because we had so much freedom to give the gospel, and yet we didn't. Don't forget that all around the world, we need to pray for people to be bold. They're dying right now. They're being murdered right now. It's common. So if our nation starts to go in that direction, don't be surprised, because that would actually be normal, and this is abnormal. We need to praise God for the freedom we have and use it while we have it, and pray for more of it. Number two, it's not easy to share the gospel. Sometimes we hear these stories and we think, well, I just can't do that. I'm not like fill in the blank. So why should I even try? People, it's implying here, it's hard. It's really hard to be bold to our family. They know who we are. They know all the flaws. They know what you used to be and they look down on us. Don't minimize the power of the spoken word of God. What changes people's hearts? The Spirit of God, as we speak the Word of God, and all of a sudden, their heart is convicted. Memorize some scripture, speak it to them, and then call them to it. Say, you need to repent of the sins that you know you're guilty of, and you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ, and then your conscience will be clean. Just try it this Christmas. Build up to it. I would say even practice it. I don't just get up here, open a passage of scripture, and say, well, what am I going to preach today? I just study to show thyself approved unto God. We also need to pray for boldness and then work on giving the gospel because it's not easy. Memorize some scriptures. So therefore, all of us need to pray. We need prayer to be a good witness. So Beaver Baptist, that's our homework. Let us pray for each other. I don't like homework either, but we got to do it. Now next, who is this man Tychicus? If you study him out, he's all through the New Testament. It's pretty neat. We don't know exactly when he got saved, but here's a little summation I came up with to help us understand who exactly he was. So he accompanied Paul in taking the relief offering to Jerusalem. We see that in Acts chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, which, Lord willing, we will be focusing in on next week, because that's Paul's farewell address to the Ephesians. So since we finished Ephesians, and I'm kind of giving my farewell address, let's just kind of tie it all together, and I can give my farewell address to you, just as Paul was to the Ephesians as we wrap up Ephesians. He was also with Paul during his first Roman imprisonment. So it's interesting. Everywhere Paul goes and he gets put in prison, Tychicus, the beloved brother, just kind of stays with him and accompanies him. And he was also frequently sent on missions by the apostle. So in your mind's eye, I want you to imagine something. We know that Tychicus hand-delivered the book of Colossians. It was on a scroll. It was written out. It was wrapped up, maybe sealed with some wax. He also hand-delivered Ephesians. Isn't that neat? So we get to, yes, we're carrying the Word of God, which is just as neat. But the original transcript of the Word of God was taken by this beloved brother to local churches and said, this is from an apostle. This is the Word of God to you. He was a trusted brother. But he was also sent to encourage them, to bring them comfort. So think about the Apostle Paul. What kind of man was he? The man in chains sought to comfort others. I think a side application for us, in the midst of our trials, often we have more ministry in the midst of our trials. As Jeff was saying in Sunday school, God brings discipline in our lives for our good. And oftentimes it opens up doors to other people that we never could minister to. But now that we are going through something, as Romans 5 says, God puts you through these things so that you can now minister to them. So don't just shut yourself up. Woe is me. I don't know what to do. Where can I go? Do as Paul did. I'm in the midst of potentially a great and discouraging time. I'm going to send the beloved brother to other people that need him more than I do. So don't enclose yourself. Open yourself up to maybe more ministry. I think that's what God would have for us. Now let's look at something that I think this is the point of verses 21 and 22 being put in scripture. I think there's other things you can come up with. But basically, we all need this type of friend. What's the hymn say? What a friend we have in Jesus. He's the ultimate. He never leaves us. He comforts us perfectly. But we strive to be like Tychicus, as Tychicus is like the Lord Jesus Christ. So several things in Scripture that are emboldened and italicized, beloved from Scripture, faithful in the Lord, and encourage your heart. Focus on these things, and let's see, am I being a friend like this? First of all, do you have a beloved friend? What's so wonderful about joining with each other on Sunday morning? I love you guys, and you love me, and we love each other. In many ways, I can't wait to see you. You've been out 3 weeks. I'm like, got to get back in the saddle. I want to see my people. And some of our interactions this morning, I think you kind of miss me a little bit too. But we love each other. We need beloved people. And as Rick was saying, uncomfortably so in Sunday school, but so true, we need people that love us enough to say, I've been noticing these things in your life. Are you struggling a little bit? Maybe you need to grow in this area. Or they would say to you, you're doing really well. I've noticed this. Continue to grow in this area. That's what love is. Isn't that how Jesus treated the disciples? He didn't treat them with kid gloves. He took the gloves off, bare knuckles sometimes, and said, what's wrong with you guys? I'm the Messiah here. You need to shape up and start listening to what I'm telling you. Let's get on the right path. We know he was patient as well. What does verse 29 say in chapter 4? What does a loving relationship look like? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths in the local church. And as you go out in the world, but only such as is good for building up, that's love, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What's the last thing he encourages with in verse 24? Grace. We are able to each other to give grace. in a time of need, and that's what a beloved friend provides. Next, you have a friend that is faithful in the Lord. It says he was a minister that was faithful in the Lord. Well, what does that look like? They are close to you. They are close to God. And that I think that would give them the freedom to be able to speak truth into your life. How do we encourage one another? We speak truth into their life. Hey, I missed you. And I loved you. I'm praying for you. Isn't that the most encouraging thing? You know, Miss Joanne, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the church. She's in a wheelchair. She's disabled. She's diabetic. She comes as much as she can. And she's such a sweet spirit. And every time she's not here, I mention her. That's our example. Here's a lady who's using her gifts, and she's so limited. We could say, Ticket Kiss, the faithful friend. Joanne Dougherty, the faithful friend. All of us can do this. You say, well, I'm this age, I'm too old. I'm this age, I'm too young. Never too young. It's neat to see, I don't know, but Joanne would interact with some of the children in this church. I don't know if those children are saved or not. God knows. But here's potentially two Christians interacting. One's like 8, she's 75, and they're encouraging one another. It's just glorious. You're never too young. You're never too old. Some application we were given in a sermon out of chapter 4 in Ephesians 2 weeks ago was some of you kids who are taking notes during the sermon and you have these little pictures you fill in. Find someone who won't have family in, maybe a widower or a widow, color that in, and go and send them the picture. Well, if you're a Christian as a young person, you've just borne fruit and you will have that fruit in heaven. You're never too young and you're certainly never too old. Apostle John, he was really old when he wrote Revelation. We think in his 90s. And he wrote the Word of God. And then everybody in between. Let us be using our gifts to be a faithful friend. You say, what is a faithful friend? Just use your gifts in the local church. And specifically, encourage one another's hearts. Hebrews would say that we need to look at each other, faithfully look at each other, and as day by day goes by, giving each other the words of exhortation that we need just to make it through. And not only should you find friends like this, but the rebuking thing for me, are you this type of friend? So last week it was back in the local church we were part of a year ago. We have a lot of family there and we are looking forward to seeing a lot of them for the first time in 5 years. Such a good time seeing them. But one particular friend who's not family, but he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, as Proverbs says. There was a time 5 years ago, no more than that, almost 10 years ago, I was just really struggling with some things. And, you know, just that borderline between despair and encouragement and God, where would I go? And he was this faithful friend. Keep reading your Bible. It may be like reading a different language. You're like, I'm not getting anything out of it. Keep reading it. It said, don't stop praying. The simple means of grace says, don't you ever skip church. And I'm watching you. I'm watching for you because I know what you, when you're despairing, you're going to try to, you know, just kind of skip away from church because it's easier that way. And he kept doing that to me at the same time his mom was dying of cancer. And he rebuked me one day. He said, John, I know you're in despair. I know you're struggling, not despair, but you're struggling. You're right there on the point. He said, you have never once asked me about my mom. You have not been a good friend. Oh, it crushed me. It was about the end of this whole pity party. Woe is me. I'm the worst person in the world. Blah, blah, blah. You guys know how it is. God, forgive me. Here's Tychicus pouring his life into me because I needed it, and I never asked him about his mom. Isn't that something? So are you being a friend like this? And we need each other, don't we? How much do we need each other? And how wonderful it is to be married to someone that loves you in such a way. And men and women, if God has blessed you in a marriage where you're both saved, be this type of friends to each other by God's grace. Quite simply, Tychicus is like Jesus. And he's a friend that is like him. On to our final greeting. So this is the usual benediction, right? Grace and peace and faith. And he throws in love here. And let's just kind of break these down and find out what they mean. Peace here, as we learned two summers ago in our Peacemaker series, it means not only peace with God, but peace with our own conscience and then peace with others. So it's an all-encompassing peace where, yes, if you're at peace with God, it means you're at peace with others and yourself, but we need to be reminded of that, that if we're not at peace with others, then we are not right with God, and we need to make those things right. I think we can sum it up this way. This is a prayer by God showing us how we're supposed to pray for each other for the inner joy that we all just desperately need. That inner happiness, putting our head on our pillow, taking a deep breath and saying, God, right now I'm just right with you. And as far as I know, I'm right with other people. And that joy we get, saying, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, that I am right with you and right with others right now. Praise the Lord for that. That is the peace that we have through being in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this very interesting phrase, it's not found anywhere else in Scripture, this love with faith. Now follow me here. Since verse 24 talks about our love for God and God's love for us, then I think this love is referring to our love for each other. I think some commentaries agreed, some didn't, some just kind of sided with both. But I really think since verse 24 is about God's love for us and our love for Him, I think this is talking about our love for each other. So how is faith involved? I think this is what it's saying. This is love of their local church, our local church, and other Christians, universal church as well, through their faith in Christ. In other words, because we've been unified in Him through faith, then we can love each other. And we need to continue on in doing that. This final prayer really sums up the book. Continue to be unified because you have faith in the same God, the same Savior, and keeping unified through your love for each other. Kind of stirring them on here at the end. And then notice the source right there in verse 23. This is from God the Father. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget that this peace, this love, this faith, this grace comes from our great God. Now, what is verse 24 communicating this morning? What is verse 24 communicating? First of all, you see the first word. What exactly is grace? We need to understand that it is twofold. Does grace bring us into the kingdom? For by grace you are saved. So grace is a gift of God to us, brings us into the kingdom. But is that where grace stops in the kingdom? No, and this is sometimes we misunderstand. We need grace day by day. That's why Ephesians 4 says we give grace to each other. Acts 20 calls the word of God the word of grace. Hebrews there at the end of chapter 4 says that we go to the throne of grace and we ask for grace in our time of need. So grace doesn't just bring us in the kingdom. And it saves us once and we're always saved. It also sustains us through the kingdom. So when he says grace, it is all encompassing all of those things. We sum it up with this. Grace is God's favor to us. What does it say there in the fourth verse of Amazing Grace? Basically, all of my favor and all of my good comes from you. You are the source of my good. And that's why the title of the hymn is Amazing Grace. Let's sum it up this way. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruption. And let's remind us ourselves of something. As Jeff's been teaching in 1 John on Friday night, we love Him because what? He first loved us. So there's a very real sense, it's completely real, that we will never stop loving Him. Now, can our love for Him ebb and flow? Absolutely. Yes, Ephesians, Revelation, these lukewarm Christians that he spits out of his mouth because they've left their first love. So it can ebb and flow. But does God's love for us, once again, Sunday school, I love how they always just work together so well, encourage you to join us, where it says, where Jeff reminded us, his love for us never ebbs and flows. Never. No matter what good deeds you do, or what great and sinful deeds you do, his love is the same. Now, will he discipline you if you sin? Absolutely. But his love isn't less. Don't forget that. The grace and the love that we have. So what is the incorruption and the corruption there? It's Ephesians 5. Stop messing with the sin. He's holy. You be holy. Set aside the sin is what God is saying. So I sum it up this way. As we dwell upon God's love for us, that Ephesians 1 language, how much he loved us, predestined us in love. We love him more and we desire sin less. the more we focus on that love. So go focus on Ephesians 1 again and be reminded he loved you because he's a loving God, not because of any deeds that you did before then or after. So as we go to application, our last slide this morning, just four different points for us to think about. And for those of you visiting, right at the end of the sermon, we have a time of quiet reflection of a couple minutes, several minutes. At that point, we give you a time to respond. But if God is convicting you now, you can respond now. You don't need a specific time to do it, although we like to give it because it's kind of stop. You know, put aside the cell phone, the iPads, the TV, the thoughts. Let's focus on God and respond. It's our altar call, if you will, where you respond to the Lord. But the last point on this slide, and I'll just touch on it now. Do you love God? There may be someone here this morning who's never tasted of anything that we're talking about. You don't go to bed with peace. You go to bed thinking, the entire world is against me. I hate everyone. I'm just bitter. I hate myself. And who is this God that demands that I live a certain way? We need to repent of your sins. You say, what's it? You've lied. You've stolen. You've coveted. You've desired something that's not yours and wanted it so much you're willing to steal it. You've used God's name in vain as a cuss word. You haven't honored his day. You haven't loved him above all things. None of us has done that perfectly. So if that's you this morning, you say, well, how do I get out from underneath of God's wrath? Because he's angry at you. For God sent his son into the world, a sinful world, that he might, number one, live a perfect life. He did. Die a painful and bloody death on the cross because someone had to pay the price for your sins. Number three, he didn't stay in the grave, did he? He rose again. And right now he's at the right hand of his Father. And he's loving us forever. Have you ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and said, forgive me of my sins, and I believe that you can save someone like me? You're not too sinful. All of us are this sin. All of us are wicked in his eyes. I encourage you, I call you, repent and turn of your sins today and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, do you have any unsaved friends? You can pray for boldness as much as you want, but if you don't know any unsaved people, as my former senior pastor reminded me last week, he asked the same question and then he paused. And he answered it, he said this way, he said, that's your fault. If we don't have any unsaved friends, there's something wrong there. Why was Jesus called a friend of sinners? Because often that's who he was hanging out with. Yes, he was surrounded with his men and he was discipling his men, but he went to an adulterer in public and called her to repent of her sins. No one talked to an adulteress in public back then. No one talked to a woman in public back then. He threw everything on its head. Do we know unsaved people? Are we praying for them? And as my wife reminded me, as we were talking through the sermon a little bit, she said, and then he said to us, he said, are you planning to meet unsaved people? We plan for our retirement. We planned for Thanksgiving dinner, I'm assuming. Right? Just pull stuff out of the freezer. Got a turkey. We plan for Christmas dinner. We plan how to bless our children if we do this whole Christmas, you know, charade thing. We plan. And we don't plan to meet unsaved people. We're not being like Jesus. I want boldness. But then we don't go and do anything about it. So let's do both. Pray for boldness. And as I've prayed for you time and time again, Beaver Baptist, God, today would you give us opportunities to witness. And may we be bold and may we be clear. Give us opportunities, and may we be bold, and may we be clear. What is the first word of the Great Commission? Go. Does that mean go shopping? Does that mean go for a walk? What is it telling us to go and do? To make disciples of all people, all races, all nations, all political parties. Everybody needs the gospel. Don't forget that. And then secondly, don't we need this? Do we have faithful friends? Yes, what a friend we have in Jesus, but for some reason, it brings them glory to make our closest friends here in our local church. And I love that some of you, your friendship goes back 20 years. Same local church. Praise the Lord for things like that. That's what we want our kids to experience. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So as we love each other like this, and the unsaved people come and look, they do see a difference. The local church matters. Our faithfulness and our love here matters. And then lastly, are we feeding on God's grace? Are we feeding on it? Do we wake up rehearsing the gospel? God, you gave me grace that was undeserved. And because of that, I'm so overwhelmed with love, I just want to go and serve you today. When you're tempted to sin, feed on grace. God, would you give me the strength through the power of the Spirit to say no to this sin now? And he gives us grace. 1 Corinthians 10 says, every temptation, he will give you a way out. Well, what's the way out? It's grace. It's God's unmerited favor to you in all occasions. You say unmerited, but it's merited through the works of Jesus Christ. His righteousness says that God will always help you because he sees you through his perfect Son. So in his eyes, you are his Son. You are in union with him. So the verse in the bulletin puts it this way. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace. And the Greek would say it this way, grow in grace and in the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. So more homework. Go feed on God's grace this week. Say no to sin because you have so engorged yourself in grace that you just want to walk with the Lord. I know it's easier said than done, but we can do it. Let us grow slowly each day. Not huge, slowly. Each day, walking with the Lord. So as I said, at this time, we're going to take some silent prayer. And I'm just going to ask Pastor Jeff that when he's ready to come forward, and then he'll close the service. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, spend some time with the Lord in prayer.
So thank you, Jonathan, for bringing forth the Word of God today, this morning. This is the case each week. And, something that Jonathan said that just want to reemphasize, and that is being mindful of those around you that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we talk about Christmas and a time of family, and I know speaking of my family and speaking of Pam's family, in many ways we're surrounded by those that do not know Christ. And something that I've experienced before, and unfortunately I don't do it enough, but and that is praying earnestly that God will bring someone across your path that is searching. That does not know Christ, but is searching. And I will guarantee you 100% of the time that if you are praying that fervently and praying that expectingly, you will see it. He will bring somebody before you or more than one person before you, of which you will know, the Holy Spirit will prompt you, that this person does not know Christ, as maybe somebody you know or maybe someone you don't know, and that I am here to preach the gospel, to share the gospel with them. And then you can do one of two things. You can either be faithful and trust in him because you know that this opportunity came from him and he will be faithful to you. You will be faithful to him and share the gospel. Or out of fear, you can turn the other way. And I encourage you to pray that prayer. Pray it every day this week and allow God to work. And then be faithful. He's providing the opportunity. He's putting you in a situation. Then just share the gospel. And then allow God to use that. It may result in somebody confessing and coming to know Christ immediately. It may just be part of that process of seed being planted and it being watered and it being watered and eventually it'll be sowed. So I just encourage you. Have a sensitive heart. pray this prayer, and you will see that God will provide. And what a great opportunity this time of year to be doing that. I did want to close by singing two verses of Amazing Grace, so if you would not mind coming forward, Ms. Shostel. Jonathan, the last verse 5, but Jonathan mentioned verse 4. So why don't we sing both verses 4 and 5 of Amazing Grace. It is hymn number 330. If you would please stand and join me as we close by singing this amazing hymn.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our day today. We thank you, Father, that it was sweet, that it was precious, that, Father, we were able to gather together amongst brothers and sisters in Christ and to worship you. And we thank you, Father, for this time. We pray now, Father, that you would bless our time of fellowship. We thank you, Father, for your provision of food. We thank you, Father, for providing it abundantly and you being a gracious God. We ask now, Father, that you would take that food, nourish it to our bodies. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless our conversation. May you be glorified through it. And Father, as we leave this place, we ask your blessings upon us as we go about this week. May you be, again, glorified through everything that we say and everything that we do. We love you. We thank you. And we ask your blessings now upon each one of us. And we pray of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you